Welcome back, Michael Warren Thomas. It's Naturally Green at SaverLife.com, and it is August. And midsummer is generally celebrated June 21st, summer equinox, but it actually feels like midsummer to me, July 31st and August 1st, as one more month of summer, and hopefully not quite as hot a month of summer. The Cornell Cooperative Extension has some neat things coming up. They're going to be doing a monarch butterfly presentation via Zoom this Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m., so you can watch that online. And I don't know who's doing it for Cooperative Extension, but I may tune in just because I love learning more about monarchs. And in my studio in the sky, which is the attic where I do my shows, I've got about 100 monarch caterpillars and eggs keeping me company, munching away. They're in three plastic bins, so each has 30 or 40. I never bother to actually count exactly how many are in there, but each bin has 30 or 40. And there are mason jars that act as vases in these bins, and right now one of them is running low on milkweed. I'm debating whether to go out like right away and get some or just later today, but as the caterpillars get bigger, they eat a lot of milkweed. And this past week I found a lot more eggs on the milkweed in my yard here in the city of Rochester, and it just seems like consistently these monarchs are laying eggs on the smallest, saddest, most trampled, most likely to get, run over or walked into milkweed. I've got these gorgeous stems of milkweed that are, 4 feet high and are just perfect. And they're not laying eggs on those. But instead, they're going to these literally 4 or 5 inch high milkweed plants, which are not going to grow that fast, not fast enough for the caterpillar to eat them, or have enough to eat. And it used to be I would never look at these because I figured, a monarch certainly wouldn't lay an egg on these. But now that is where I generally find them. So, I cut the stem of milkweed and put it in the mason jar vase. I recut it underwater like you do with roses. It helps it to last longer. And then the milkweed regrows from where I cut it outside. And I bring these stems in so that the spiders don't eat them, which they invariably do if I leave these outside in my yard. But, I look at these stems of milkweed in the mason jars, and so many of them are tiny. I mean, a baby caterpillar would eat these very quickly, but the big caterpillars can eat several large leaves a day. And if you have 30 or 40 of them in a bin, they can eat a lot of milkweed. So now I'm bringing in those beautiful big stems of milkweed for them to munch away on. So if you want to learn more about monarchs, this Thursday, 6 p.m., Cornell Cooperative Extension, you can sign up online. I believe it's free, and should be fun to see what they have. Maybe I got to contact them, see how many monarchs they have. Maybe they need some for their presentation. If you need some monarchs for something, I've had several people pick them up this week. You don't have to take 30 or 40. You can take 2 or 3, 10. If you wanted to take 30 or 40, that's fine with me. I run out of space. I can't keep that many. I do have one super large bin, which I have not used yet this year, which can hold even, twice as many. But then I got to find a place to put that in the house. Because I do keep these in the house. If rain were to fall on them, there it would get too much moisture in there, and more likely the spiders would get to them. So I do keep them in the house. I hope they don't mind the air conditioning up in my office. But again, if you'd like some Monarchs, I can find a way to get them to you, or you can pick them up here. We can set up a time, and I can make them available for you. Maybe you want some eggs. You can see the whole process. Maybe you just want a couple big caterpillars so that they'll make a chrysalis soon for you. Really takes, I don't know, maybe 3 to 7 days for the egg to hatch, and you're never quite sure when the monarch laid that egg unless you watch them do it, so you never know when the egg might hatch. And then, you know, maybe it's 10 days of eating constantly on the milkweed, and then they'll make a chrysalis. So I only have one chrysalis right now. You can't really take the chrysalis. I can't give those away because they're attached to things, and you know, one is attached to the vinyl netting that goes over the bin, so can't give away that vinyl netting. But you can have caterpillars. And also, Cornell Cooperative Extension is having their summer sale a week from today, 9 to 1 p.m., up at their headquarters on St. Paul Boulevard, and that's just north of the zoo entrance. On St. Paul Boulevard. Very close to Atlas Eats, by the way, which has a really good bakery. And you might try to combine your visit. They're on a couple blocks away. But the Master Gardener Summer Sale, 9 to 1, next Saturday. And they are looking for donations. If you have maybe cool gardening books or tools or watering cans or ladders or birdhouses, gardening magazines, lawn furniture, wheelbarrows. They have a long list of things that they'll probably have, and also are looking for donations. So hand and power tools, leaf blowers, that season is coming. I've got a couple topiary items that don't have anything growing on them, but it's sort of the metal forms for topiary that maybe I'll bring up and hopefully they could sell them to someone. Or I think they look kind of cool, but I've never gotten around to actually growing something on these topiaries. They're maybe 3 feet high, something like that. Very simple, but be kind of fun to grow something on them. So look around, see what you have that you're not using, and consider donating it to the Master Gardener program, especially this year. You know, their plant sale at the Lilac Festival was canceled, and you know, organizations like this are just don't have the income that they normally would, which is difficult to survive on that, much less reduced income that they have these days. So find some things. You know, if you haven't used it in a couple of years, it's probably time to give it away or sell it. And this will help the Master Gardeners, and maybe you need something that broke, or just want to go peruse and see what they have. So bird feeders, may want to clean stuff like that before you bring them. But again, support the Master Gardeners. You need to call them to set up, drop off, and they also give you an idea of what they need, maybe, or you can ask them. Depending on what you have, whether they'd like it. So call Cornell Cooperative Extension in Monroe County, the Master Gardeners. It's 753-2558, 753-2558, and ask them how to drop things off before Saturday. So 9 to 1 Saturday, and get to say hello to some of the Master Gardeners. If you have some questions about plants, maybe things you haven't been able to identify, or maybe bugs, I don't know. You could bring those, maybe ask if someone can help identify them. I do have a diagnostic lab, and depending on what it is, you may have to drop it off and pay for that service. But if you do think it's some sort of disease or insect, make sure it's in a tightly sealed container. They don't want your insects. You know, they just want to help identify them. So again, support the Master Gardeners, they do a lot of great work throughout our community. They are going to be having a bunch of other Zoom presentations. There'll be a second Monarch one August 18th. Also, they're going to be doing a this Thursday, a raised bed gardening session this Thursday. Later in August, one on poisonous plants in the ornamental garden. There are some of those. And again, hopefully I can tune in via Zoom and watch some of these also. Expand our gardening knowledge. I just saw a post about the murder hornets in the state of Washington, and they've captured one in a trap. So this is exciting for them. It's an invasive species from Asia, and it's a very large hornet. It will scare you to see how big these things are. It's something out of a bee horror movie, really. And they're excited they caught one in a trap, because that means that these traps perhaps will work. Now, the really fascinating thing is that they don't actually want to kill them in the trap. They want to put a tag on them, or some sort of radio tag, very small one, although these are big hornets, and then track where that hornet goes back to its colony. And then they use like infrared to try to figure out where the colony is. And then they want to destroy the entire colony. So killing a couple of them in a trap doesn't do them much good. They really need to go back after these colonies. And there don't seem to be probably not that many colonies right now, but they want to catch them. Again, trap them, tag them, and then follow them back to the colony before we get into September, October, because then that's when the more queens are produced and dispersed, and then they got a lot more work trying to trap and find these murder hornets. So these murder hornets they're dangerous. One of them isn't going to kill you, but a swarm of them might. The real concern is, and that's unlikely to happen. I don't think it's happened at all in the state of Washington. But the real concern is that these murder hornets murder not only people, but honeybees. And they go after them for the... they destroy the bees and I guess eat the honey. And the larvae, maybe they want the larvae more than the honey, but they just wipe out honeybee hives, just destroy them. But fascinating enough, there did find some example somewhere of the honeybees actually cooking a murder hornet by swarming around it. And the honeybees are so small compared to these murder hornets, which are like a couple inches long. I mean, it's insane. You'll find great photos of them online if you want to look them up. But the honeybees would swarm them, and the heat of the honeybees is what killed the murder hornet. It wasn't stings from the honeybees. It was the heat they were generating. Fascinating defense mechanism. But they're not good enough at that, I guess, to really control the murder hornets. So it's just a minor level of control, or minor level of killing some of them that the honeybees can tackle. But we got to find these colonies of them that have become established in at least a few places in the state of Washington. So again, these invasive species are kind of fascinating and scary, and I don't know. I find them interesting. So if you run into something like this, feel free to send me a note, michael@saverlife.com. I was doing some weeding in a friend's yard and found a whole lot of swallowwort It is an invasive weed, which mimics milkweed. It's related to milkweed. It has little pods that, once you think about it, look like milkweed, although they're much smaller, narrower, and they're smooth. But they do send off little parachutes with seeds. You want to make sure to get rid of those if you find them growing in your yard. But you also need to look for the little babies, which develop a really good root system, and you can't pull them out. You're going to have to dig them out. And I ran into some of them in a driveway where digging them out is really not an option. So we'll try boiling water. That might kill the roots. Works really well on sidewalks. And I've been cooking a lot of sweet corn this week, and so I have fewer weeds in the driveway and the sidewalks as I take the boiling water out after cooking the corn and pour it on these weeds, and they are toast. It's pretty amazing. It'll kill the grass, too, so you got to be a little careful where the boiling water runs off to. But it really is effective. And hey, you've got a making tea or something, you know, pour yourself a glass of tea and then take the boiling water that's left over and go pour it on a few weeds. Really surprisingly effective. I've used it in mulched areas. I've used it, again, in patios, sidewalks, driveways. If you have pebbles, you know, sometimes the weeds get in there, and there's really no way to dig them out. The boiling water is really pretty cool. They're pretty much dead instantly. Although this grass I've been trying to kill in a neighbor's sidewalk area, it's got sort of a delayed reaction. I put this on and it looks fine, and then 2 days later it still looks fine, and then it's like 3 or 4 days later it's just dead. It's kind of like the roots didn't tell the top of the grass that it was dead. And so it's kind of a delayed reaction with some of this grass. But the boiling water is very effective. Watch out if you have sandals or something. Don't splash yourself, because it hurts. You don't want to spill it as you go out the door either. So I've done all of those things at various times. And if you have some weeds and things you can't identify, send me a photo, michael@saverlife.com. If you have some favorite flowers that are blooming, I'd love to see those. I planted some carnations for a friend, and wouldn't you know that rabbits, I think, possibly deer, could be both, really love these carnations. There are a whole lot of other plants around, and the only things that were eaten right to the ground were these six very pretty carnations. They ate the flowers, they ate the plant, they left the roots, but it could have been a rabbit. Not sure exactly, because these weren't very big carnations, and there certainly are, I know there are rabbits there, but there are occasionally deer there too. So again, Mother Nature, that's why you plant a diversity of things. If I had, you know, just, you know, 200 carnations, I would be crushed. I've seen this happen when people plant 200 tulips. The deer come and they just eat them all in one night. A couple hundred tulips. So it's a argument for diversity in your garden. Necessarily one of everything, which I tend toward, but having lots of different plants. Some of them will do well when it's really hot out and there's a drought. Some of them will do fine when it's really wet and cold and we have a cold spring. But you plant lots of different things, and then each year some of them are going to do way better than others. It's because they like the weather, they like the rain, whatever it may be. So they have many arguments to plant a diversity of things. And sort of mix some of those things in together. If you make a mistake and something's too big, you can always move it, or move it in the fall if it's a perennial. Right now is a pretty tough time to move things. Nurseries have some beautiful plants. I was just out at Sarah's Garden Center, and you should go out and see their gardens. And they posted a photo of their gardens to Instagram and Facebook, and all kinds of beautiful shrubs and flowers, annuals, perennials, beautiful green grass, pathways, and many of the comments were about the edging. The edging there is like something you'd see at, Kew Gardens, an English botanical garden. It's a really cool edging. And they had a whole bunch of big weddings planned there this summer, but those have been canceled. But now other people are coming back, or some of those same people, and wanting to do small weddings in their gardens at Sarah's Garden Center. And it's a stunning place. Really got to go back and see those gardens. They've got one sort of big area of lotus and a pond and small sort of stream that comes down, a little bridge over it, and a bigger pond further out. It's really gorgeous. And they have some beautiful plants you can take home. So I wouldn't move things that are currently in your garden very much, because you're invariably cutting a lot of roots. But adding some new things that have been grown in pots, those are going to transplant better, I think, generally, than things that you might move in your garden. So some beautiful hydrangeas. They had cone flowers. I've had a bunch of butterflies visiting the cone flowers in my yard. And tons of other plants available. And speaking of lotus, Chris Clemens from Exploring Upstate was just out there for his third visit of the season. And he says at one point in his blog, which has tons of photos, gorgeous photos, he's got a really stunning colors and things on these water lilies and lotus from Bergen Water Gardens. But he says in the article that he doesn't really visit many garden centers. That's something I do, but that's just not something that he's used to doing. But he finds this place so fascinating. This is, again, the third time he's been out there this year, and I expect he'll probably go out again at some point. But right now, the lotus are really gorgeous. It's time to see them in bloom. They started slow in the spring. It was a cold spring, and they like warm weather. I've got a big bud on the lotus in my yard, but Larry now and Lily have thousands of lotus. It's kind of insane. And it's the I think it's, Larry said, the largest collection of lotus outside of China anywhere in the world, which is crazy, because it's tropical, well, semi-tropical. Some of these are hardy if they're deep enough in a pond. But you know, this nursery in between Churchville and Bergen has the largest collection of lotus outside of China. About 400, nearly 400 varieties. And Larry has, 75 display gardens out toward the road. And each of these are like 6 by 6 feet. It's nuts. It's crazy. He had an order which unfortunately couldn't be shipped because of a lockdown in Singapore. But Singapore was opening a new botanic garden, and they ordered, like 200 or 300 lotus from Bergen Water Gardens. They're a little closer to China, but Larry's got some really cool varieties, and unfortunately that order, hopefully it'll go through next year. They couldn't get it into Singapore. But that just gives you an idea of the kinds of lotus. People order them from him all over the world, all over the United States. And, you know, we are 20 minutes away, I am, from Churchville. So this is a great post by Chris Clemens, exploringupstate.com. Check out the photos. One of his other recent posts was on finding barn quilt trails in upstate New York. And then he's also got one on the cheese vending machine, East Hill Creamery near Letchworth, just outside Perry. It reminds me of the meat vending machine that McCann's Local Meats has here in Rochester. There's a cheese one open 24/7, which is very convenient if you're camping at Letchworth and you need some really good cheese. It's just a few minutes from Letchworth in Perry. So check out exploringupstate.com. Chris also is the one who designed my new website and did an amazing job with it. So got to work on my photography for my website. He's got a new phone, I think he said, and he's doing some cool things with the photos of these carnivorous plants that Larry Now and Lily also have. It's got to be one of the biggest collections of carnivorous plants outside of, you know, some really huge botanical gardens. He's got a lot of carnivorous plants, which usually you might see a couple of them. You know, a garden center might have a couple of Venus fly traps and a few, you know, pitcher plants, but he's got hundreds of them. It really is a fun place to go visit. So you can go to virginwatergardens.com, and now is the time. The next month, August, is the month to go see the lotus, and maybe go a few times just to see. You know, the leaves are fascinating. They're all grown in pots or in water gardens, so you don't need to have a pond or a water garden. You can grow them in a pot. They've got micro lotus that are inches high instead of several feet high. It is a fascinating plant. So again, we're lucky to have Virgin Water Gardens here, and as I've said a few times, you know, in the last couple months, you know, we have these amazing places, especially gardening related, that are right around the corner. So you have Virgin Water Gardens, Bricolo Nursery and Garden Center features a lot of native plants. It's one of the things they specialize in. There's Palmiter's Garden Nursery, which has some beautiful gardens and a large pond, and Sarah's Garden Center, which has the edging of their gardens, but also stonework, which will amaze you. So take the opportunity to go out and explore some of these areas. And as Chris said in his post, you don't have to go and buy a lotus. You can just go and take photos and look at them and explore. Larry and Lily are fascinating people to talk to. So, and it's Buffalo Road between Churchville and Bergen. I take 490 out to Churchville exit and then head west. It's just a couple miles down the road, and that kind of pretty area to explore. Speaking of really interesting places, Linwood Gardens is one of those. And if you've never been there, they've been posting some photos to Facebook and Instagram too, I think. So they're known for tree peonies, but the grounds are really stunning. And hundreds of tree peonies, but the rest of the year, really, really gorgeous. They've got one open garden day that's currently scheduled. The way this works, you pay $20. Kids are free, and it's $20 per adult. And you can hang out for the day, 10 to 4. It's August 26th, Wednesday, is the one that's scheduled at this point. The summer house there is closed, so there are no restrooms or other facilities. So keep that in mind. You might, you know, not want to stay the entire day in that case. Or you might want to take a break and go, have something to eat. I think the hole-in-the-wall restaurant in Perry is 20 minutes away. I did that one day. So August 26th is the next open garden day there. And they may do some in September. So it says bring your contribution, check or cash only. leave it at the welcome table or with a staff member upon arrival. Please practice social distancing. Wear a face mask when talking with staff, or if you cannot maintain 6-foot space from other guests. And they do ask you leave your pets at home. You look out over the Genesee Valley from the west side of the valley, so back toward Geneseo, and it's stunning. Linwood Gardens is a place you need to go explore. So you could bring a book to read, you could do some sketching, some painting, you could meditate, you could go do yoga, photography, you could just go and sit in one of their benches. I mean, it is, I think, a magical place. Linwood, Linwood, linwoodgardens.org for more details. Again, the last scheduled open garden day, August 26th, a Wednesday. And if you go to some of these places, send me a photo or two or let me know what you think. I feel lucky to live in an area like this with really extraordinary growers. If you love orchids, we've got a couple great orchid growers right here, one on Scottsville Road. And we've got one of the biggest growers of sort of miniature African violets in Naples. We have Fruition Seeds, which is on the cutting edge of seed growing, and you can order some seeds for late summer, fall planting now. So if you're looking for something and you don't know who might have it, where to find it, email me. Hopefully I can help you out. michael@saverlife.com. We have the food show with an interview with Trish Azer from the Brown Hound downtown, who has just purchased a building in Naples for another location, although it's not the same name. It's going to be called Old School Naples. It is an old 150-year-old one-room schoolhouse that is going to become a breakfast lunch bakery in the near future. So we'll have Trish Azer on the food show. Discover the Finger Lakes also, and then tomorrow, 9 a.m., it's the Grapevine here at SaverLife.com. Have a great day, and enjoy the sunshine. Mother Nature is going to provide some rain, so maybe we don't need to do so much watering Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe. So do some deadheading. Get out and just see what's in the garden. Again, if you can't identify something, send me a note, michael@saverlife.com, and a couple photos. Have a great day.